promise. Therefore sprang there even of one, in whom as good as dead, so as many the stars of the sky and multitude, and the sand which is by the sea, should innumerable, seashore innumerable. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having them afar off. And we are persuaded of them, and embraced by them, and confessed by them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What country were they seeking? They were seeking the same one that we're working towards. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And mind you, a lot of this language is figurative, but I think God speaks to us in ways that we can understand. So we're going to see if we can pull out his lessons. You know, let's look at verse 21, and we're going to begin at verse number 1. So I do a lot of reading tonight and make some applications, and then the lesson will be yours. Revelation 21, we're going to begin at verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 10, at least the first couple of passages, first series of passages. And it reads as such. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirsty a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I'll stop right there for a second. This new city, this new place he's talking about, and we know the new Jerusalem is symbolic of the church here, but we also talk about this new heaven. We know that basically that our atmosphere and environment, according to 2 Peter, is going to be burned up and everything on it. But we ought not want to live here. But it goes into detail about what it's like. What is heaven like? It's like a great city. You know, Christ talks about this in John 14 when he says, In my house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you to myself. So when we think about this, God speaks to us in terms that we can understand. Some of these terms are this. Basically, in Revelation 21, let's read verses 12 through 14. And it says this. And had a great wall, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the 12 angels, and names wherein thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. In them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. There are some folks in this world who teach that, well, you know, it's only going to be 144,000 in there. They just don't even line up with Scripture teaches. And we know where it comes from early on in the book of Revelation, but here he's talking about something that represents basically the 12 tribes of Israel, but also the 12 apostles. So let us know that in heaven are going to be those who died under the old law and those who died under the new law. We're going to be in the same place. They died under a different law. They obeyed their law. We'll see them. But notice it says, has 12 gates, with 3 gates on the east, north, and south, with 12 angels at the gates, with the 12 tribes of Israel, the names inscribed on the gates, with 12 foundations, with the names of the 12 apostles inscribed on the foundations. The measure of the city and the gates and the wall is what we read of in Revelation chapter 21, verse 15. And it says this. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, adjacent, the 12th, and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was as transparent glass. Now you may say, I'm looking to walk on these streets of gold, but understand, we're going to have a new body. I don't know about you, but I hope to have to walk another step when I get to heaven. I don't want to be up there walking in my feet tired, and I got to find the right shoes for my flat feet. I don't want that to happen to me. Maybe y'all want to walk. I don't want to walk. I want to be somewhere where I can just be there. So we see this, but talks about it and speaks to us in terms that we understand. Who would not think it was so precious to walk on streets of gold and to drink from an everlasting fountain? Think about how God is describing these things. All of these were probably, maybe with a couple of more, these are some of the most precious stones on earth. So heaven's not going to be a place that's not beautiful beyond belief. But can you imagine? We have this time of year now where a lot of folks like to look at things like Christmas lights, and they're just in awe, and they're beautiful, some of them that they have up, but nothing compared to what we're going to see in heaven. Can you imagine just being able to look at that all year long, the beauty of it? Oh, my goodness, it's more than worth it. So sometimes we got to remember what it's about. So we have this, the measurement of the city, the gates. The angel had a golden reed to measure them. This golden reed is also symbolic of the law. We know that it was used as a reed of measure. It was a line stretched out. It was a measuring line under the old law. But it refers to the line of God, the word of God, excuse me. So we have this. The city is laid out as a cube. Its length, breadth, and length are each 12,000 furlongs, or about 1,500 miles cubed. These are the descriptions that we get. The distance, really, from Orlando to Denver, if you want to look at it in modern-day terms. That's how he gives us this picture. Now, we don't know. We don't know whether. We don't understand. We're going to be new bodies, so I don't think we're going to have to worry about bumping into neighbors and paying taxes and staying on our property and all the other stuff we have to worry about in this world, but it kind of gives us an example. And again, if God really showed us what it was like, as my dear mentor brother Cecil said, if God really told us what he had in store for us, it'd blow our brains clean out of our head. That's how I believe how beautiful it is. But we don't realize it when we focus on things of this earth. Then there were the 12 foundations. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Imagine the colors, with the varying shades of green, red, blue, gold, and clear crystal. Man, so is it worth it now? Is it worth being faithful now? And this is just a glimpse, is what I'm saying. This is not what it's like. I think God just speaks to us in ways that we can understand. But he also speaks of a glorious city. We're going to skip down to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to begin at verse number 22. And it reads as such. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So think about that for a moment. There'll be no more temples. There'll be no more meeting places, because all going to be worship. We won't have to worry about, driving here and driving there to worship God. It's going to happen continuously. Think about how beautiful that. Think about what God has in store for us. Verse 23 says this, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Don't worry about it going night, being night up there. It's never going to be night. Some of us are still afraid of the dark. We don't like going out in the dark. We just don't like it. Stuff out there we can't see, we stay away from. But in heaven, we don't have to worry about it anymore. We don't have to worry about the sun. We don't have to worry about, sunburn and all those other things we have to worry about here. It's going to be lit and lighted by God and his Son forevermore. Why? Because he is light. God is light. Oh, my goodness. So whatever we do is more than worth it. So I like the fact that he speaks to us in terms that we can understand. Verse 24 says this, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do they bring their glory and honor into it. The nations of them that are saved, what about those who aren't? They won't get to see this beautiful sight. Now, maybe they will. I get the picture. Maybe it'll be like the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. Well, I think one of the reasons why he was tormented, other than he realized he didn't take advantage of God and listening to God in his life, he was able to see paradise afar off. I mean, he saw him afar off. He couldn't cross it. There was a great gulf that divided him in between. But can you imagine that? Can you imagine those who don't make it in are able to take a glimpse of it and maybe see a glimpse of what God has in store, and then depart into utter darkness forevermore? Can you imagine the torments in their mind, the time they wasted, and the things they put before making heaven their number one goal as far as making it there? You talk about some really torments and tormenting, humiliating emotionally. Think about that. We get a picture of it again in Luke chapter 16, but this is what God has prepared for us. It is the temple is the Lord, God Almighty, and the Lamb. There is no temple unlike that was in heaven described in Revelation 7:15. For that depicted the blessed of the immediate state, but this is the eternal state that it's talking about here. It is illuminated by the glory of God and the Lamb. There was no need of sun or moon. Isaiah gives us a picture of this as well. In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 19 through 20, he allowed many of the Old Testament prophets to get a glimpse of what it was like. We just read in Hebrews chapter 11 that they were focused on it. You know, they were talking about this. They were looking for a city not built whose foundations were in heaven. That's what Abraham was looking for. Why was he considered the father of faith? Yes, he wanted an offspring. Yes, he wanted, you know, someone to carry on his name and all those things, and he would be the father of many nations, as it tells us. But make no mistake about it, Abraham was also looking for that city whose foundations were in heaven. That's what it's all about. The reason why we do what we do is all about the opportunity to spend heaven with God and to be there with him forevermore. Of course, again, our sun and moon is going to be burning up anyway, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But a glorious city, so spectacular that our minds really can't grasp it. Our little mind, little feeble minds, all we can handle is little stuff like this. He's speaking to us in precious stones and clear view, and we know how beautiful things like clear view crystal and, you know, glass buildings, all kind of stuff that we sometimes enjoy, and it's nothing compared to what God has for those who love him and are faithful to him. The nations of the saved will walk in this light. As I said before, the saved come from all different nations and tongues, just like when the church began in Acts chapter 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to it, perhaps referring to such righteous kings like those of Judah, David, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Now, can you imagine just being able to talk to David? Can you imagine just being able to shake hands with Paul and Timothy? Can you imagine all of those folks that we read of? Can you imagine Peter with his hot head self making it into heaven and how God changed it? Can you just imagine all the folks that we read about? It's almost like seeing someone that you've always held and idolized in your life, and it just blows your mind. We see it now. Maybe somebody that you grew up idolizing. If you meet them in real life, you know, sometimes we're so stunned we can't even say a word. I can only imagine what it's going to be like to maybe have a mansion next to one of those. Maybe Timothy in heaven. I don't know. They're all going to be there. Can we just imagine it? Oh, my goodness. God has so much in store for us. This is what it's all about. This is why we do what we do. Nations bring it. Glory and honor are added to be added to the glory of God and the Lamb. Glory and honor, they themselves receive at the coming of the Lord. Nothing that defiles shall enter it. And that's why we need the blood of Christ. Nothing that defiles shall enter into it. That's why we have to do something with sin while we're living on this side. And on top of that, only those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life enter. I can't write it in there. God writes it in there. He writes it in there based on our obedience. Now, can you imagine? I just think how people are. You know, the excuses maybe that they're going to be trying to give. You know how it is sometimes when maybe you hadn't done this. You thought you made a reservation and you didn't get it. You ever been there before? Well, I knew I should have made it. Man, I thought They ran my credit card. What you mean I don't have a room? You know, sometimes we'll flip out if our vacation don't go the way it's supposed to go. You know, we'll turn a table over. If we thought we reserved a room or had a place to stay, and it ends up we didn't have it. Or they'll say stuff like this. I don't know about you. Sometimes they double book stuff. Been flying a lot lately, going out to see Brandon, but, you know, there's some people that go crazy when their flight is changed. Just act a complete fool. Sometimes they can't help it. Sometimes it's weather. Sometimes because they do double book flights. But to see them go, but I can only imagine. I was just thinking about this maybe last time I was in the airport. Well, how many folks are going to be trying to get a reservation to heaven the last minute? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine all the folks that maybe look at us like we're crazy because we're here tonight, or crazy like we're here this morning, or you claim to be a Christian? Can you imagine them and what it's going to be like and what kind of excuses? And then maybe they'll do this. You know how people are. You know, I don't have a mansion myself. Can I stay in yours? Absolutely not. First of all, it ain't mine to give. But second of all, no. I worked all my life. I tell folks all the time, when I get the picture, we're going to have a mansion. But I'm going to try to make sure mine's by my wife. That's all right. Now, I can't control that, but we need to have mansions by each other somewhere. We're going to be on the same street. Nobody that I don't know better not come visit either. Because I might get the scuffling in heaven. That's just my mindset. Maybe that ain't y'all. Maybe that ain't y'all. I might have some problems in heaven. I have to go see the good judge to get me out. But think about that. Think about how wonderful it is if you have a spouse that's walking with you that one day, maybe one day, we know we're not going to be married in heaven. I understand the Bible says that, but we're going to know each other. Just think about that. And I hope that I'm so filled that that will be my second worry or my second concern. I hope that I'm so filled in the presence of God that that really all that matters. And that's what I get the picture of us happening there. But this is what's happening. Nothing shall enter it. Only those who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 tell us that, and also Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. This glorious city is not for everybody. Everybody had the opportunity to make their reservation. But think about this as well. There's going to be provisions for everlasting life as well. Revelation 22:1, we see the water of life mentioned here. And again, this is figurative. A pure river, clear as crystal, proceeding from the very throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, I don't know about you, I'm a country boy. And one of the things I had to do when I was growing up with my grandmother is I had to get water and some jugs from a spring. But, oh, my goodness, a natural spring ain't nothing like it. It's the heat of the day, and if it comes from deep underground, it's always cold. We had a place that we went to. Matter of fact, it's down in the Gold Hill area in Anson County. I can't think. I think it might be the Gold Hill area in Anson County. And that was a spring up by the road. I remember every time we went to see my grandmother, who lived between Waysburg and Burnsville, if you know where that's at, in Anson County, we had to stop, and I drank water till I got sick. Several times, because it was so good and refreshing. Just good old natural spring water. Can you imagine? Knowing that we won't have bodies, but can you imagine that that's what God provides us in a figurative sense? He's promised to those that are thirsting. Thirsting for what? Righteousness. We ought to have a thirst for righteousness now, because in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. When Christ gave us that Sermon on the Mount. So if we don't thirst for righteousness now, surely we won't have it there. And that's the problem that many folks don't understand. If you don't thirst for righteousness now, you'll have no desire for it then. So we ought to want that for ourselves. And that's what we're talking about. In the middle of the street was in the Garden of Eden. This is what was talking. This is what we see here, the tree of life. The same tree of life we see in Genesis is going to be in heaven. The same one that they were cast away from, Adam and Eve, our forefather and foremother, were cast away. It's going to be there. Can you imagine in the middle of the street, the tree of life, straddling the river of the water of life, as we see here, bearing 12 fruits, yielding fruit every month, which means it's symbolic of perpetual provisions, with leaves for the healing of the nations, so there'll be no more sickness, no more doctor's visits, no more copays, no more checking with your HMO and see if they can provide the medication that you need so that you can live a halfway decent, stable life with all of our health issues. None of that anymore. It's worth it. It's more than worth it. The reign of his servants, the curse which made work difficult, is no more. The curse in Genesis 3, 17 through 19 is broken in heaven. So, you ain't got to go to work there. Oh my goodness. You don't have to work there. God has everything provided for us. That's just for this world. The throne of the God and Lamb is forever present. What a beautiful, beautiful sight. What a beautiful opportunity we have to spend eternity with God. His servants will serve him then. But it really won't be laborious. It'll be something we want to do. But, like I said, if you don't enjoy it now, how in the world are you going to enjoy it in heaven? There's so many folks somehow think that they're going to turn on a switch. And when they get to heaven, they're just really going to enjoy worshiping God. But if you don't enjoy it here, and it's not 24/7, 7 days a week, how do you think you're going to enjoy it when there's no time clock? That's all we do. There's no need for it. There's no need to get there. You won't get tired. You don't have a physical body. You won't have the aches and pains that sometimes we use. We won't have those excuses to keep us away. And we have problems doing it now. Oh, my. Maybe this is a test to see whether we're worthy of heaven. Maybe if we can't do it now, then heaven might not be the place we want to be forever. Because how long is the worship going to last? Forever. Forever. Oh, God is so good to us. We're so good to us. We have so much in store for us. On top of this, oh my goodness, and this is probably what's going to blow my mind. We'll be able to see God face to face. That sends chills down my spine. The God that we read of, the ones that we feel, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. No man has seen God at this point on this world and lived. Moses was allowed to catch a glimpse of his back walking away. But can you imagine seeing the creator of the universe face to face? How glorious it's going to be. Because we're going to have a new body. So we won't have to worry about, you know, shining and glowing like Moses did because he was in the presence of God so much so that he had to veil himself. That won't happen anymore. Being able to talk to our Lord and say, yes, we talk to him through prayer and he talks to us through his word, but can you imagine just being able to tell God how thankful you are face to face? Oh, my. God, you're so good to us. This is what it's all like. There'll be no more night, no need of lamp, light, or anything else. Then it says we'll reign forever and ever. A glorious city with provisions to enable glorious service toward our God for eternity. That's what it's all about. Now let's read Revelation chapter 22. I'm not going to keep us long tonight. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. And it says this. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of it, and on the either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits yielded by her every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there will be no night there, and there will be no candle, no neither light of the sun, for the Lord God himself giveth light, and they shall reign forevermore. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must come shortly. It's not long, folks. It's not long. Now it could be 10 minutes from now. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years. But compared to eternity, it's not long. How long do we have to be faithful unto death? And then we rest. And that's like a waiting room, as I like to say when I explain this, because reality is there's nobody in heaven but Christ and his Son. We always try to place folks in heaven when they leave us, but they're not in heaven. They're in a resting place. But based on how you live this life, you're either in resting place or paradise or you're in torment. How do we know that? When you look at what it tells us in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ is coming from here. The dead in Christ shall rise. So you can't be in the same place. It's impossible, according to Scripture. It's impossible. We're resting, and somehow even in paradise, we're resting in his presence, but God is everywhere. But that's not heaven. That's the last judgment. At the trump, we'll get our reward. So we die before it happens. We're going to rest from our labors, but it's going to get better. I'm reminded of times like this time of year when I was growing up, and, you know, this time of year, you know, kids get awfully good and want to do all the chores. You know what's coming up on the 25th, right? Oh, hey, great kids. Yeah, I know I was. I did every chore I could, just wanting to get what I wanted from my parents. And, you know, I thought about it. You know, that night before sometimes, you get so excited that you can't wait. You can't sleep. You know, when you was a young child, you just can't wait. You can't sleep. You say, oh, what's, can you imagine that? That's what it's going to be like for us when we die. We're going to be waiting. That's what we see when, you know, for all those who were martyred for the cause of Christ. They were begging. They were wanting revenge, but they were also waiting for their reward. Expectantly waiting, not mad waiting like folks do in the airport, but expectantly waiting. Can't wait. We did it. We here. We resting in paradise. And God, when you, I want my mansion. I'm going to be patient. I know I'm not tied to the world and time frames. I understand that, but I want to be where you are. I want the mansion that you promised to me. And many folks are sacrificing what God has in store for earthly wealth and gain and earthly presence. So in conclusion, we're dealing with a highly figurative passage in this, but make no mistake about it, that's in spiritual applications. Now, there's no need for gates. I mean, God's not going to let anybody in, but he explains it to us. Because using some Old Testament terminology, look at how beautiful the temple was. If you've ever done a story or a detailed study of the temple that was built, oh my goodness, we missing something if you hadn't. And it's all symbolic, and also is a foreshadowing of the church, but also what heaven's going to be like. That's why it's so important to know your whole Bible. When you do a detailed study of that temple that God commanded Solomon to build, oh my, It was the most beautiful thing ever built by man's hand. But it was showing us something. It was showing us what God has in store for those who are faithful unto death. So from this, we can envision the hope that we have in Christ with images that relate to our own imagination, with those from other, you know, compared to other inspired sources. You know, God is not like a grandfather figure sitting on a rocking chair. Just he's way more than that. You know, he's not just a good buddy in the sky. But it brings tears to my eyes to know that if we're faithful, one day we're going to be able to see him face. I can't get over that. Maybe that's the thing that's got me so excited. A whole lot of beautiful stuff, but being able to see and sit down and talk with him face to face. Yeah, meet some of those other ones that make it to heaven are great. I want to be there too, but man, I want to see my Jesus and my God face to face. I can't imagine. My little puny mind would be on the floor right now if God really showed me what it's going to be like. But it gives us a glimpse. So in closing, we ought to constantly look for this city to come. That's what Moses did. That's what Abraham did. That's what all these forefathers did who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. They were doing it, but they were doing it for something that they didn't have the ability to see. We're a lot closer now. We live. We at least had to be able to see. We were able to see the Messiah through Scripture. We were able to see that. But guess who else is going to be taken into heaven with us? All those saints who died in the old law. All those faithful. Man, it's going to be a glorious day. So we need to look for a city with foundations and whose builder and maker is God. A city prepared by God who is not ashamed to be called our God, as according to Hebrews 11:16. So as we go through life, and life has a way of just kind of robbing us of what's most important. Life does that. I've been there before, and sometimes you get to going through the motions, and we just go on autopilot sometimes. But sometimes we have to be reminded of what it's all about. What's at stake? Our souls are at stake. Our soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. It's not a doubt. We're going to exist somewhere after we leave this physical body. This is going to return to earth, but that's not the end. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but that's not the end. What are we going to spend eternity? All of us ought to want to be able to hear him say at judgment, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Those are the sweetest words that our Lord can ever say to us before we enter into that blessed promise called heaven. But we got to do the work now. So maybe when we do these things, we won't do it like God is asking us to do some of the worst possible tasks. This is a small token. This is a small thing that God asks us to do to be faithful compared to what he has in store for us. And that's the way we have to look at it. And when we look at it that way, what is too hard for us to do? What can we not really put up with on this earth? Knowing that we ought to fear those who kill both body and soul and not fear those who just kill the body. We're so worried about folks who are going to kill our body that we lose the real focus. Those who are going to be able to kill body and soul, and that's Christ. That's God. So we don't need to fear any man. We need to be able to stand strong because there's a promise for us. You know what? And that's what all of our Christian brothers who died a martyr's death did. At some point in time, they got to the point where they looked past this earth. It didn't matter. Their life didn't matter anymore. That's the way we have to get. And then we'll really be able to truly live. If you've not died in Christ, there's no way in the world we can truly live. Because that's freedom. That's freedom to live and not worry about things and the world, this thing the world throws at us, not get so tied up and sidetracked by this evil world. We know it's evil and it's getting worse. It's waxing worse and worse. Expect that. We as Christians, we got something better to look forward to. That's heaven. If we're faithful. If we're faithful, what must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins that places into Christ Jesus that makes us new creatures. And then God says, okay, this is the first step to putting you on your path to heaven. But now you got to walk it out. But guess what? I'm going to walk with you. I want you to walk with me, just like we mentioned this morning. Enoch walked with God, and God took him, for he was no more. Wouldn't it be great to say about us that we walk so closely with God that he took us? It's just like, and that's the way it should be. Because he's coming back as a thief in the night. We're going to receive our glorious bodies in the twinkling of an eye. How fast did some folks say, can you bat your eyes? Just that quick. We'll have our glorious bodies. Or we're entering the judgment unprepared. Just that quick. So yes, it's worth it. Whatever we sacrifice on this earth is more than worth it. Our time, our resources, our efforts, more than worth because of what God has in store for us. So if you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of 450.